Welcome to the Real Estate Answer Man Show, heard Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern with your host, Tony Martinez, the Real Estate Answer Man. Tony is a nationally acclaimed speaker, trainer, and real estate expert. The Real Estate Answer Man Show is brought to you by Extreme Realty Team, a full-service real estate company. The Real Estate Answer Man Show is your source for news, trends, and information on today's real estate market. For all your real estate needs, call Extreme Realty Team at 1-800-719-7290. That's 1-800-719-7290. And here's your host, Tony Martinez. Okay. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everyone. This is Tony Martinez. I am the Real Estate Answer Man, and thank you for joining us today. We have another fantastic, fantastic show lined up for you here. So if this is your first time, welcome. If this is more than your first time, thank you for continuing to come back. We're live Tuesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, though that might change because as I was talking to my producer, Doug, he says, you know what, maybe we ought to look at a different time slot. I said, man, you know more about this stuff than I do. You tell me where to go. Well, maybe I shouldn't have phrased it that way, but give me the advice and we'll do it. So, but thank you for joining us. Let me give you some information that might come in real, real handy. If you want to call in during the show, because we have an incredible, incredible guest here today. I'm going to talk about him in a second. The number you want to call is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Now, a little bit about the show, just to kind of bring you up to speed. We're on weekly, and our goal here is to become a resource, the kind of place you can go to get accurate and valuable information on what's going on in the real estate market right now. Even though this show is heard, obviously, across the country and across the world, the bulk of our listeners are from South Florida, where I'm based. So oftentimes we kind of go in that direction, like today's show. And today's guest is going to be talking about the South Florida real estate market. And if you've been listening to us for a while, you know that I have a special passion for helping people that are in distress, people that are losing their home to foreclosure. We have focused a lot of our shows on trying to give them direction. So my role here is to kind of facilitate this information. I am a real estate broker. I am not an attorney. I am not a financial analyst or a CPA. I don't dispense legal or tax advice, but I am a licensed real estate broker. My wife and I own a company here in Broward County called Extreme Realty Team. And one of the reasons why we do this show is so that we can let people know that there is this resource called Extreme Realty Team, and anything that we can do to help you, whether it's buying, selling, investing, renting, or if you are or know someone that is losing their home to foreclosure, let us talk to them because we might be able to help them. And if we can't help them stay in their home, you know, maybe we can help them with a dignified exit. So if you want to reach me anytime after the show, I'll even give you my cell phone number. I've been doing this because I want you to have complete access to me. Write it down. Ready? Here you go. 954-663-0275. That's 954-663-0275. I'll repeat that a couple more times during the show. Just to recap before we bring on our excellent speaker today, you know, last week we had another fantastic show where I had Sandra Edmond, who is the queen of tax deeds. And I got to tell you, that show, the number of downloads on that show has just been astronomical. There's tremendous interest in learning how you can invest in tax lien certificates and tax deeds to generate what potentially could be substantial profit. So a lot of people were excited about the information. And I just want to remind you that she's coming down to Miami for a live class that's being hosted by my friends at the Miami Association of Realtors. It is taking place on Friday, April 25th. So it's an all-day class. In fact, it's been extended by an hour. It now starts at 8:30 and ends at 4:30 because for my realtor buddies, it is now approved for 7 hours. That's 7 hours of continuing education credits. So if you register for this class on or before April 20th, it's only $79. After that, it becomes $99. And if you wait to the day of the event, and assuming there's any space, because we're on a path right now to have a sellout, it'll be $149. So kind of logic dictates to go ahead and sign up now, get the best possible price. So where would you do this? Go to www.taxdeedclass.com. Taxdeedclass.com. Okay, next week, I've been advertising that I have another fantastic show in store for you. I have my personal friend, Mr. Floyd Wickman, that he's going to be on the show, and we're going to be talking about a book that he helped to co-author that's really a tribute to his longtime mentor, Zig Ziglar. So for those of you that are familiar with the name, Zig was one of the most influential individuals in business and in personal achievement that we've ever known. And sadly, we lost him a little over a year ago. So a new book is out called Lessons from My Brother Zig. And Floyd Wickman, who is, in my humble opinion, the best real estate speaker trainer of all time, wrote this in tribute to Zig. So I've asked him to come on the show to kind of give us some excerpts and some information on how we can just improve, because the impact that Zig had on Floyd's life was just incredible. Now, if you're a real estate practitioner like me, then you definitely want to see Floyd live. And it just so happens that we've put together an event that's going to feature the man and the method, Mr. Floyd Wickman. I'm honored to be sharing the stage with him, speaking about what I believe I do best, and that is the sale process. So it's coming up May 6th, 7th, and 8th. In Sunrise, and once again, my friends at the Miami Association of Realtors have stepped up. So if you're interested in registering for this event, then I need you to go ahead and call. I'll give you a phone number for you guys to call. It's 954-385-3251. That's 954-385-3251. And later on in the show, I'll give you a website address that you can visit as well. So as you can see, we got all bases covered here, right? We got the training for those of you that are in the area you can take advantage of. And then we also have these great guests as far as the show. Now, if you catch the show at the end, or if you see value in the show and you like others to find out about it, well, it's on iTunes. So it's real simple. You just go to our website, go to our page here for the show, which is Real Estate Answer Man Show, realestateanswermanshow.com. You cannot miss the humongous icon that we have there as far as, you know, Real Estate Answer Man on iTunes. In fact, just below it is a flyer on the Floyd Wickman event I just mentioned. And if you click on that flyer, it's going to take you to the registration page where you can find out a lot about that. So everything you need to know is right there at realestateanswermanshow.com. That is realestateanswermanshow.com. So, folks, today, you know, let me tell you a little bit about this gentleman that's coming on the show today. He should be calling in very soon if he's not there already. But the gentleman we have on today is Peter Salewski. Now, for those of you that are in the South Florida market and in real estate, then you know exactly who I'm talking about. So Peter, I believe, has got to be the most sought-after columnist, contributor when it comes to anything that pertains to South Florida real estate. He truly, truly has his fingers on the pulse of what's going on in the market. And so we're thrilled that he can carve out a half hour of his time to go ahead and come on the show, because if you've been following what's been going on, that our market has exploded. Our market has absolutely exploded. Now, one of the things that I'm going to ask Peter is, you know, I'm of the opinion that Miami is kind of like a tale of two cities. You know, there is a side that we hear about because it's fast, it's sexy, it's happening, and that's the high-end luxury market with the condominiums. And then there's the side, unfortunately, that doesn't get a lot of coverage right now, and that is the still significant number of people that are losing their homes. But for today, we're going to focus on the exciting part, and I'd like to get his take on exactly where he feels that this is going. So I'm just getting the notification. Here's an internet problem. But Peter, you're on the line with us now?
Hey, Tony. How's it going this afternoon?
Great, great. Listen, thank you so much. And folks, I need to give a disclaimer right now. There isn't a single human being that speaks faster than Peter. Okay? Would you agree with that, sir?
You know, I would, and just think about it this way. I've been off caffeine for probably about 15 months or so. I'm taking no illicit substance. So, you know, this is just pure passion and excitement about the South Florida real estate market.
That's great. So my advice to you folks is strap on your seatbelts and don't ask them to slow down. I need you to listen faster. So, Peter, first time I came across you, my friend, was in 2008. I was teaching for a very well-known distressed property course, and you know, I came across the 60-minute segment that you did. You got to remember that one, right?
I do. But believe it or not, it was with Scott Pelley, who's now doing the CBS National News at I think it's 6 o'clock or 6:30 nationwide. Yep.
And that was shocking. And I mean, I got to tell you, man, you went on that show and you were talking about what was going on with, because it was all so, I mean, I remember like it was yesterday when we were just first, when the world seemed to come to an end and everything was collapsing around us. So kind of tell us, we have a break coming up in about 4 minutes, but why don't you take mm-hmm. this opportunity, because no one can introduce themselves better than themselves. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to the point that this is what you do and you're so sought after right now.
Absolutely. And thank you, Tony, for the opportunity. You know, I listen and I follow everything you do. So I'm delighted to actually be on here and, you know, have some time carved out of your program in order to sort of discuss kind of what I see going on. And, you know, I will tell you first and foremost, I tend to annoy a lot of people with just sort of what I say. I don't have a dog in the hunt. I'm a licensed real estate broker, been licensed in the state of Florida since December of 1995, but I'm a non-practicing broker. And really what I do is I try to capture all the data that's out there, and I try to apply it towards getting a better understanding of sort of what's going on. Think of it like Google Earth, trying to get a perspective of sort of what's going on and how all the pieces kind of fit into place. And what I then do is I turn around and do consulting. I do it for developers. I do it for lenders. I do it for private equity funds, hedge funds, family offices. Fortunate enough, during the downturn, I used my broker license and I did some bulk deals. I'm glad and proud to say that we killed a bunch of markets in terms of pricing. And that, I think, ultimately was the key to this market coming back, is the ability to sort of realize what real value was back then when Lehman Brothers crashed, President Obama first got elected, and the troubled asset relief program was kind of put in place. People sort of thought the end was near, but, you know, as the prices fell, buyers showed that they had confidence in South Florida and the overall market. They moved in here, and now I think that's why we as a region are so much advanced and so more ahead of kind of what's going on nationwide. I mean, the rest of the country is starting to catch up in terms of real estate coming back. But I would tell you that our pre-construction condo boom, which right now we're counting 217 towers with just under 30,000 units, already began in May of 2011. And I bet there's a lot of your audience who's listening saying, 2011, this guy's insane. There's no way that it was 2011. Well, I would tell you, if you look at the statistics, you'll see the bottom of the market from a condo perspective was 2009. So, you know, again, it comes down to information. You put the information out there, and then buyers come in, they factor in the risk, and they make a decision based on price of what the risk should be, and they ultimately play the game. I think where the market stalls is where there's a lack of information in the marketplace, and then people are sort of stuck, and it's kind of the, you know, paralysis by analysis concept where you kind of don't know what to do because you don't know where it's going. So all that being said, we collect data, we analyze data, we advise people on the data, and then ultimately people trade off of that data. They buy, they sell, they do a variety of different things, and I collect a consulting fee and or I collect a subscription fee off of a website I have called cranespotters.com, where we're basically modeling and profiling you know, all of the towers that have been proposed thus far in South Florida. So you can go to one place and sort of get the, you know, the no BS approach to kind of what's coming, who's building it, and where's it going to be located.
That's brilliant. So, folks, if you're just tuning in, we have the one and only Peter Salusky on the line with us here. And as I was mentioning earlier, this is the guy that has his finger on the pulse on what's going on in South Florida as far as the real estate market. He's a numbers guy. He's a data guy. So he's not operating from emotion. So I think that was probably one of the reasons why we had the collapse before. And that's one of the things I would like to talk with Peter about more when we get back from this very, very brief break. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back with the Real Estate Answer Man Show.
Real estate is red hot in South Florida. If you're thinking about buying, selling, or investing in real estate, now's a great time. Sellers, demand is high and prices are on the rise. Buyers, great deals are still available and interest rates are still very low. The Extreme Realty team is your one-stop source for all your real estate needs. They specialize in luxury and non-distressed properties, foreclosures, short sales, and new construction. They cover Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Tony Martinez Professionals will work closely with you to help you achieve your real estate objectives. If you are behind on your mortgage payments or in foreclosure, don't wait. Call today to discuss your options. Call Extreme Realty Team at 954-530-0211. That's 954-530-0211.
Okay, folks, welcome back. Tony Martinez here with the Real Estate Answer Man Show. We have, as I mentioned, a very special guest today. We have Peter Salusky of CraneSpotters.com, among other companies. Again, the most sought-after contributor and numbers person when it comes to anything that pertains to real estate. So, Peter, again, thank you for joining us. So please tell us about what's going on. You mentioned 217 towers that are proposed as of right now.
Yeah, you know, Tony, I was a journalist for 12 years. I originally moved down to South Florida in October of 1993. And if you weren't back, if you weren't in South Florida back at that time, that was the time when tourists were driving around with rental cars and the bottom of the license plate said rental very clearly. And some of the thieves in the community, because the economy was struggling, whatever, they were robbing people and they were killing people, and it prompted a bunch of different changes. And now sort of when you drive around, you see Sunshine State at the bottom of the license plate. That's typically in Dade and Broward County because of what was going on back then. And when I got here, I was writing about real estate. I was writing about economic development for a number of different publications. Ultimately, near the end of my 12-year run in journalism, what I did is I took a demotion and a pay cut. I went to work for a publication where I wrote about banking. And most people said, why would you want to write about banking? The reason I wanted to write about banking is I wanted to sort of understand the third leg of the stool. I would tell you, real estate is a key part, professional services is a key part, and ultimately banking is a key part. Tourism does what it sort of does, but it's kind of like in its own little bubble in terms of day-to-day activities for most people. So once I understood the banking aspect, it started to make some sense. And really what happened is I left journalism in March of 2006, if you can imagine that. We're on 8-plus years out of it. But what I took away from journalism is use the public information that's readily available, try to go ahead, take advantage, and understand the marketplace, and then look and see if you could sort of use the opportunities that are available there. And what that did is that led me into the distressed market. Left journalism in March of 2006 and ultimately started the company in shortly thereafter. In 2007, we started to get traction, especially as the South Florida market started to collapse. Came in under a company called Condo Vultures and had a lot of fun feasting on the carcass, if you will, that was sort of lying around. But ultimately, in the first quarter, second quarter of 2011, as most people were still thinking the distressed market was in play, we started to see, in terms of using public records, we started to see a bunch of new towers were being proposed. And as these new towers were being proposed, and there's typically a 6 to 9 month lead time from the time you announce a tower to the time you actually go forward and launch the pre-sales, we started to track this stuff. And fortunately enough, the Miami Association of Realtors reached out to us. They said, listen, we'd like to work with you. We know what you've done previously. I've since been added to some of their boards and sort of provide my insight. And what we did is we created this website. And we're trying to be the official pre-construction website for all of South Florida. And what I mean by that is anytime and every time we hear about a new tower that's proposed, and we're up to 217, we're adding another one. So we'll have 218 tomorrow. But every time we hear about this, what we do is we go into the public records and we use the property appraiser records, the clerk of the court records, the planning and zoning records from the various municipalities. And we go ahead and we can create a profile or a composite at every single tower. We then plot everything on Google Earth and a 3D map. So you can actually surface around South Florida. You can see where all these towers are sort of located. And the game plan is to try to give everybody a very clear understanding of what's coming down the pipe, where it's located, and not only what's trading today or selling today, but what's going to be trading in the future. I would tell you of the 217 towers we're tracking in all of the South Florida area, less than 100 are actually selling. So what that means is we're already on to the second, third generation of product that should be coming down the pipe. And we really sort of think if you're going to be getting in this market and you're going to be playing the game, you kind of understand not only what's happening today, but sort of what's coming down in the future. But in looking at the data, a lot of people are starting to look at our numbers and say, it might maybe get a little robust. Maybe it's a little bit, I should be a little antsy. I'm sort of here to kind of tell you that at this point, it doesn't look like any kind of bust is near. And again, people in the audience might say, well, this guy's insane. He's crazy. 217 towers, 30,000 units. How could that be? Well, what we're really seeing is everything that's been proposed to date. And again, it began in May of 2011. You only have roughly 450 condos that have been delivered, and that's 5 buildings. So these are all very small buildings that started off because developers were sampling the market. Now, since then, we've had pre-sales launched, and we've had a number of projects begin construction. And currently, you have about 66 towers that are under construction with about 7,500 units. But it's all said and done. That's less than one out of every three units proposed is actually looking as if it could come to fruition. So we were still very, very, very early on in the overall makeup of what is likely to be our next run. And, you know, from what we can see, it's probably going to be a long run. And the question is, why will it be long? Well, last go around, when I was doing the analysis, and I was taking a look at what was going on, we found that there were about 245 towers created in the Tri-County area, east of 95. It was about 49,000 units. And at that time, lenders were very loose with the cash. What they did is they put about $11 billion in condo construction financing out on the street. How much are they putting out today? Well, from what we can gather, roughly about $2.5 billion. So it's a very, very, very small fractional number compared to what happened last time. So that doesn't mean that the buildings that are built and ultimately the buyers are supposed to close will not be able to close. But what it does say is if the market does go sideways on some of these new towers, the real people who have something to lose are ultimately going to be the individual buyers. And the good news is because of the lack of inventory, and it's been reduced by about 65-66% since Lehman Brothers crashed back in 2008. There's a number of buyers waiting in the wings that would theoretically take this stuff down at any kind of price. So really, I think now is kind of the party time, if you will. It's the time to sort of indulge and drink and eat and not worry about calories or a headache. And then maybe 3, 4, 5 years down the road, then we can sort of worry about getting on the treadmill and maybe taking some aspirin.
Well, I remember from the 60 Minutes clip, something always stuck out in my mind was the part where it showed the parties and it showed the dancing girls and it showed and everything. And man, I'm scared. I got to tell you, and I'm feeling a little better about what you're saying. But deep down, I'm thinking, you know what? We as human beings have this nasty tendency to just forget history and just repeat it all over again. And as soon as the party started coming back, I started thinking, this is deja vu all over again, but you feel differently then.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons I feel different is let's sort of walk through the last go-around. The last go-around, if you were a buyer, you theoretically put down 20%, and then you would be tied up on a condo. You put down your 20%, you'd be tied up for 2 to 3 years, and ultimately, if the building or when the building was delivered, you would be required to close. You'd be able to go forward and come up with the rest of the cash, get a loan, and ultimately close on it. But what we really know happened is that these buyers, and if you look at a pre-construction project, it's really selling you a pre-construction contract, a futures contract, if you will. No different than buying orange juice futures or oil futures or pork bellies or anything else. And really what it's saying is this is what I believe the price of the market will be in the future when it's ultimately delivered. So I believe the price will be this or even be actually more than this. And that's really what a pre-construction sort of contract is. So back in the day, during our last run, which was really 2003 to 2006, and the downfall sort of began in 2007, back then the buyer will put down 20%. They then try to retrade that futures contract, which is a pre-construction pre-sales contract, and ultimately make $100,000 a contract and move on to the next one. A lot of people had a lot of success sort of doing that. Well, what we're finding, and that ultimately led to the banks doing financing because the banks felt as if there was a strong demand for all of these units when in reality there wasn't necessarily the same demand. So what are we doing this time around? Well, in May of 2011, there's a group out of originally out of Argentina, and they fled Argentina after the peso devaluation in January of 2002. They came up here to the United States, set up in Miami. What they did when after South Florida went through its crash and was coming back, this particular group, and they're called the Mellow Group, and they operated in the Edgewater area of Greater Downtown Miami. What they did is they said, listen, let's forget all the fun games. Let's just do it the way we did back in Argentina. And what they did is they proposed the project. They said we were going to collect a 50% deposit, which is not alarming and not surprising in Argentina. And they went and they sold it in Argentina. And this is a project that was going to go up in Edgewater area of Greater Downtown Miami. If you don't know where that is, it's roughly about 23rd Street in Biscayne. So it'd be just north of the American Airlines Arena. And ultimately, they sold the product, and they sold it for about $675 a foot. They put up a crane in August of 11. Again, people thought they were crazy, myself included. Ultimately, they completed it in May of 2012. They had it sold out. Everybody closed by July of 2012. And the people who purchased at $275 a foot are now trying to resell that stuff at over $400 a foot. And, that's 2-3 years later. And what that did is that sort of triggered this whole following of 50% deposits. And the reason 50% deposit was the sweet number is ultimately banks didn't want to finance any kind of condos because of the headaches and lumps that they took the last go around. But the other interesting part about 50% deposit is a developer normally works about a 50% profit margin or so. That's the goal. And anything, if there's cost overruns or this or that, the profit margin is going to be reduced. So theoretically, if you can collect 50% of the money to build a project up front, that's effectively your entire cost as a developer. And the only thing you really need to sort of deliver the unit for is ultimately to collect your profit. So the developers, if these projects are to go sideways, the only people who are really going to lose are going to be the buyers rather than the developers, because they have virtually very little into the project. So they're effectively building this stuff on spec, if you will, for buyers who are putting up their cash, their currency, because they're ultimately optimistic and bullish on what's going on in, you know, the South Florida area.
Okay. Yeah, I follow you. So it's making sense. And so the cash, the 50% plus, are you also tracking where primarily the buyers are coming from? These are primarily, you know, foreign investors, correct?
Yeah, you know, or it's playing out. Well, first and foremost, pre-construction is a lot of smoke and glamour. It's a lot of parties, and it's about creating a lifestyle. So basically what you're doing is you're buying off paper. There's nothing else to buy off except paper, and there's a vision and illusion of kind of what a project can be. The other thing about pre-construction is nothing is recorded until the building is ultimately completed and contracts are closed. So a developer can tell you that, you know, he's 85% sold out, and I joke that every project in Miami in South Florida is 500% sold out, because the developer can tell you anything, and there's no third party who's going to go in there and vet that information and be able to say, yeah, that's true. It's not like a publicly traded company on the stock market where when they release their financials, there's actually an accounting company or an auditor who goes in there and verifies and says, yes, these numbers are true. So we kind of have to take the developer kind of at their word about what's happening. But the only thing we can look at is, are any of the banks financing these projects, and or are we seeing projects go vertical, i.e. go under construction? And from that perspective, yes, we are seeing some serious traction. Who these buyers are, no one really knows, but I can kind of tell you from watching the market, you'll see certain groups that play in certain areas. And generally speaking, a lot of Miami-Dade County is going to be dominated by the foreign national, but there will be some exceptions. Some exceptions may be places like Miami Beach, South Beach, where you're going to get a lot of Northeasterners. I mean, keep in mind, when Lehman Brothers crashed in September of 2008, stock market was under 7,000. Dow Jones, if you look at it today, we're surpassed 17,000. So that's a tremendous amount of wealth that's been made since the crash occurred. And as people are making this cash, especially those up in the Northeast, they're looking to sort of diversify, park their cash elsewhere. As you start to look at rising tax rates in the state of New York and California, you know, people sort of want to, you know, they're kind of chasing the deal. And fortunately enough for South Florida, we got beaten down so low that, you know, there's still value on the street. It's not the same value that it was a couple of years ago, but it's still pound for pound. And then with no state income tax, it's starting to look very, very, very attractive for some of the domestic buyers. And the domestic buyers, I think, really are going to be sort of the key. Thus far, all of the transactions that have gone down have mostly been cash, whether it's resales or it's pre-construction. But what we're starting to find is that the domestic buyer is starting to work herself back into the marketplace. And as that happens, that just sort of encourages me that, you know, we're going to be on a little bit of a run. Now, are we going to get overindulged? Are we going to eat too much and drink too much? Well, I mean, that's kind of what we do. So, you know, guys like me who are putting up the data, we're just sort of hoping that we can kind of keep people on a regimen where, you know, while you might drink to excess, you then might have to go to some sort of liquid diet for a couple of days and sort of level it all out.
Wow. So your primary customer is typically a developer. Are you finding that the buyers are more sophisticated and buyers maybe are looking at this more from a business perspective, not so much emotional, not so much hype, not so much lifestyle and drinking and dancing, but do they seek you out and get the numbers from you to see if they're on the right track?
Well, typically what they do is they'll come and they'll seek me out, but I charge a lot. So then what they'll do is they'll go to their realtor. Their realtor will tap into the information that we make readily available on the website, CraneSpotters.com. And don't go singular. Don't go CraneSpotter, because there's a German guy who didn't register the plural version with the S. So he's a little bit annoyed that we're sort of doing what we are with the Crane Spotters concept. So what will happen is if you're an individual and you go to our website, you'll be able to capture some of the information. I would say it's probably about 20% of what we're tracking. If you remember the Miami Association of Realtors, you're going to get about 70% of that. So typically what happens is a would-be buyer will come in, they'll look at the information, they'll want to get more information, they'll reach out to their realtor. If that realtor's a member of the Miami Association of Realtors, their realtor can then pull the information for them. And the goal is to sort of take pre-construction into the 21st century. For the longest time, pre-construction has been more so like going to buy a car. You show up into a sales office, they tell you a bunch of stuff, and you sort of, you know, you get a headache, and you don't have a clue what's going on. What we're doing with our research and with our not only public records, but also let's call it a foot traffic or gumshoe approach, we're actually sending people out to the sales offices to get the pricing. So if you are looking at our website, you're able to go apples to apples. Think like Amazon or Carfax or anything, where you can actually line up every building apples to apples and get a great sense of, okay, what's it trading at? What are they asking? What's the deposit structure? What's this or what's that? And we feel that that's a great element for the marketplace, because ultimately it's going to bring a little bit of predictability. And you can still decide to overpay, or you can still decide to go into an area. But at least you kind of have the facts versus the last go around. You know, think about it. Back in 2005, 2006, when the market was sort of, you know, stalling, we didn't really have Facebook. We didn't really have Google Earth. We didn't have the property appraisers in the various counties. They were taking 2 months, 3 months to post stuff. Now everything has gotten accelerated so much so, it sort of leads me to believe that, you know, because of that and because of the, you know, the battle scars, let's say, at the last boom and bust, people are just much more sophisticated when they're making that transaction, and they're using all these various tools to really sort of be well-educated about what's kind of coming down the pike. So, you know, that's the reason I'm sort of optimistic and sort of skeptical that we could see the same type of, you know, bust we saw last time. But then again, you know, South Florida always never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. As a realtor myself, you know, we always look for value-added, you know, services. So I'm glad you kind of brought that up, because the buyer has always had the option of going directly to the sales office of that particular developer. But you're seeing also maybe more of a trend now for them to seek a third-party real estate agent, a realtor that has access to a lot more information, that can act in the capacity of representing their best interests. You're starting to see that now more.
Yeah, and you know, for disclosure, I'm not, you know, I'm a member of the Miami Association of Realtors. I sit on the board. I mostly, you know, I go to a few meetings. I provide some insight. I do what I do. But ultimately, this is, you know, it's about cutting through the BS and kind of making a clear cut. I'll tell you, the units we're tracking, roughly 30,000 east of I-95 in the Tri-County area, 40% of the units are being built by men and women who have never built here before. They built elsewhere, but they've never built here before. And if you're laying down a 50% deposit commitment, hard-earned cash, where you put down more and more money as you hit various milestones as a developer, you really better understand what exactly you're doing. And a lot of times, if the realtor is educated and skilled and they have some clue about what's happening, the chances are they're going to be able to guide you, at least bring to your attention some places that you ought to consider, and also some issues you ought to consider or ask about related to the, you know, the various developers. So I guess what I'm saying is, many buyers tend to go in and they try to play the game on their own, which they may, but oftentimes what we find in working the back end and looking at the books, or at least, you know, doing our surveys, what we find is virtually that commission that would have been paid to a realtor is ultimately being kept by the developer, because that's money that's really been earmarked to be paid out. And now suddenly if somebody comes in solo, maybe a discount will be applied, but you can bet the house that the discount that's applied to a buyer coming in naked will not, you know, it won't equal ultimately what the realtors would have been owned. And what do the realtors sort of generate for their money? What do they earn? Well, first and foremost, they're providing you some expertise, some real skill. You know, if you want to play Ameritrade and watch CNBC and go and buy stock, that's one thing, and sort of take your chances. But when you start talking about deals where condos are trading, I mean, the median price right now on these pre-construction projects is about $550 a square foot. The mean price, the average of the averages, is close to $800 a foot. But if you're making a commitment on a 1,000 square foot place at $800 a foot, and you have to put out a 50% down payment, that's $400,000 roughly that you'd be laying out based on what you know. And if you're parachuting in from somewhere else, you know, that's definitely kind of risky. There's other ways to sort of risk your cash. And I would say, you know, go to Seminole Casino or go to the Miami Highlight. You might be able to, you know, you might be able to get a better return on that. So ultimately what I'm saying is that, you know, the realtor does play a role, especially in a market that is starting to get so, I'm not going to say frothy, but definitely exciting. And as it gets exciting, if you sort of don't know what you're looking at, you kind of get stalled. I mean, Tony, you ever go to Miami Subs?
Oh, yeah.
Miami Subs restaurant? Okay. So So the problem I have when I go to Miami Subs, and, you know, I like it and all, but if I'm driving down the street and I stop at Miami Subs or whatever, I'm running late, I need to grab something in my waistline. Judge, but if I need to grab something, I'll go into Miami Subs and I'll look at their menu and I'll be confused. And why am I confused? Because they got Kenny Rogers chicken and they got Arthur Treacher's fish and chips and they have They have, gyro or New Yorkers say gyro, and they have hot dogs, they have hamburgers, they have chicken, they have all this other stuff. And I look at that menu, I don't know what is going on. I almost need a tour guide in Miami subs, and that's kind of what's going on with the pre-construction condo market. You have so many different projects that are popping up of so many different quality, different builders, all this type of stuff. You sort of stall because you don't really kind of know where to go, and you start to ask people, and inevitably what happens is a lot of buyers tend to ask their buddies and ask their friends, and their friends and their buddies tend to tell them, well, we think it's this, we think it's that. Well, I always sort of ask people, I say, if you're going to take advice, who are you going to take it from? You shouldn't take it from somebody you know because they're your friend. You should take it from somebody who you aspire to be like. Because if that person's been successful, chances are they kind of figured it out. If that person that you're taking your advice from crapped out and went sideways during the last boom and bust, are they really the right person you want to sort of be dealing with and, investing your hard-earned cash on based on their type of opinion? So I guess, the cut to the bottom line, expertise is really what's starting to emerge, and the value added of the realtors and the people in the real estate profession who kind of do their research, they do their due diligence, they're able to tap into it, and they're able to sort of look at it from a contextual perspective. I think they're the ones who are going to sort of make the difference. And, the buyer who parachutes in and tries to play the game, the last boom and bust sort of showed you, you can make a ton of cash, but ultimately you can also lose your shirt.
Absolutely. And in the few minutes we have left, Peter, the direction seems to be now ultra, ultra luxury. There seems to be no end in sight for how expensive these units can be and the incredible features. And now the association with the top designers and all that. So how did that all come about that they decided now the name of the game is let's see who can be most outrageous and who can be the most expensive?
Yeah, it was very easy. Back in the day, during the last boom and bust, it was about a 20% deposit. Because it was about a 20% deposit, the guy cleaning the pool and the guy driving the taxi and the woman who was an accountant, whatever the case may be, they tapped into the equity run-up in their homes. They got equity lines and they went ahead and they bought condos. The reason they bought condos is that if they bought 10 of them, and if there's 10% appreciation annually, they would theoretically double their money. That was kind of the idea. That's what they wanted to do. Well, lo and behold, this time around, because that easy financing is not available and because the developer needs a 50% deposit, the developer has to reach out to the ultra-wealthy. And in order to get the ultra-wealthy, you need to provide something that is very value-added, something unique, some kind of piece of art or something that not every Joe Schmo could sort of get. So the early way in that the developer sort of figured that they would be able to sort of catch the attention and wet the palate, if you will, of the wealthy was to bring in some famous architects and famous artists, somebody who's going to have name brand recognition, and the projects would be smaller in quantity in terms of density. They'd be just as tall, if not taller in terms of height, but they'd be smaller and they'd be more boutique-oriented unit-wise. And really, that kind of led to this Starchitect, is what they call it, which means star architect. And it sort of reflects, oh, my gosh, you have a rock star type of Hall of Fame type of designer. And a lot of people sort of chased that early on. But what we're starting to see is a movement away from the Starchitects, because I think virtually every Starchitect who exists. And as a side note, I asked the Starchitect on a panel one time, can you define a Starchitect and can you tell me how many there are? And the Starchitect said, admittedly, listen, it's marketing ploy. Virtually, but we get name brand recognition and people want to pay more money because we simply designed that product. My words, not necessarily theirs. But what we've seen now is the Starchitect part is sort of going to the wayside, and now we're starting to get into lifestyles. Now lifestyles are being pushed, whether it's outdoor activities or it's this or it's that. So that's kind of where we're going, and that's just a representation of the evolution of the marketplace. And it's also a good indicator that what had been the luxury side in the beginning is starting to move more so into the, I'm not going to say the mainstream, but let's say the above average type. And I give you a great example, at least my opinion of how we're changing. I'm talking to you about the 50% deposit and how a buyer has to put that down. Well, a lot of domestic buyers don't necessarily want to put down 50%, and if they do, they want to get insurance against that money with some sort of bond that they reach with a third party, and the developer agrees to sort of split the fees on the bonding. Well, what we've seen now, the first project come forward, and this is in Fort Lauderdale, it's called the Paramount Fort Lauderdale Beach, they're actually seeking a 30% deposit. So What does that mean? That means that the market is starting to get more competitive, and as it gets more competitive, these developers have to sort of, set themselves apart. They have to separate themselves. So now you're starting to see the deposits come down. 30% is still a lot, but it's not as much as 50%.
Mm-hmm. I think we lost Peter. But Peter, are you still there?
If you were, yeah, I'm here. To kind of give you a perspective, and I know you said that we're going to be wrapping up, but just to give you a perspective, let's numbers-wise, You know, currently there's only been five towers completed of about 450 units. You got another 66 under construction with 7,500 units, but really you got 49% that have simply been proposed, representing about 14,300 units. So the lion's share is not even, you know, it's not even to the point yet where it's gotten approval from new municipalities to build. People have strictly said, listen, I want to put something up. But to give you a perspective of kind of how it shakes out, Dade County has the most units proposed with 23,200 units and 146 towers. Broward County is coming in second, and Dade, by the way, represents about 78% of the overall market. Broward's second with about 41 towers, about 3,900 units, about 13% of the market, and Palm Beach is a distant third with 30 towers, 2,700 units, and about 9% of the market. So you can see this is really a Dade phenomenon at this point, and a lot of that has to do with the foreign national influence in Dade. But we are starting to see it head north into Broward and increasingly Palm Beach. Now, what does that mean for somebody who owns a condo or owns a property in South Florida? Well, what it means is that prices are going up. Buyers are starting to get out overpriced or get outpriced out in Dade County and start looking for the next best deal. So increasingly, we're very bullish on what's going to be happening in Broward and Palm Beach County in the upcoming years.
Okay, so I remember attending a conference that you did a talk, and you did mention about how on the Palm Beach side it's really lagged behind considerably. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing them starting to catch up now?
Well, not catch up, Palm Beach County, for instance. Yeah, Palm Beach County, from what we're tracking, is got 30 towers going forward with only 2,750 units. 1,100 of those units are going up in one project in West Palm Beach called Icon Palm Beach, just to give you a perspective. So that effectively means the rest of the county east of I-95 has only got about, 1,600 units. That's very, very, very little compared to what was put up last go-around. So, like in West Palm Beach last go-around, developers built 16 towers and with 3,400 units, and in Boca they built 12 towers with about 1,050 units. And right now we're talking about very little units going forward. So it's very early on in kind of in the game, and really what's driving that game is foreign buyers starting to head north, as well as, we all know it, very strong rental rates.
And Peter, and all this is centered around the water, so everybody wants to be on the beach, so it's just always going to be a beach phenomenon, and none of this stuff is going to move west of 95 at all?
Well, that's an exceptional question. Funny, I was listening to you at the beginning in the tale of two markets, and I really believe that. We focus east of I-95 for the simple reason that we think second home buyers will stay east of 95. We don't think they will go west of 95, with some exceptions. So when you get west of 95, you really get into real type of people. They're either investors or the primary users. We feel as if the unemployment rate is going to be much more paramount west of 95 than it is east of 95, where somebody parachutes in for a month or two, a year, and they kind of do their thing. But what's good about it, what happens to the east, it suddenly starts to spread to the west. People who are in the east, they sell out of their condo, they sell out of their dirt. It's purchased by somebody else. They make a ton. They then look for their dream home, whatever the case may be. They head west. So it's kind of it's an interesting type of evolution that seems to go on and on and on. But really what's sort of been driving the condo boom to this point has been all of the foreclosures that occurred during our last boom and bust. And what happened is people who went bad, either intentionally or unintentionally, lost their home, strategically defaulted, did what they did. Many of them sort of have that stigma of not being able to get a loan or haven't been able to get a loan. This has forced them into being renters. And who do they rent from? They rented from the foreign investors who came in here with strong currencies. They bought condos at discounted prices. And these foreign investors have continued to raise the prices. They've raised the rental prices so much that now developers are going forward to buying condo sites. They're saying, listen, I'm going to build a rental. The banks are saying, okay, we'll finance a rental. We won't finance a condo, but we'll finance a rental. And now suddenly we have these rental towers starting to pop up all around. Well, at the same time, that bank financing is starting to open. So, we're in for sort of an interesting time because I think many renters, they don't necessarily want to be renters, but they've been forced into it because of lack of financing. But if that financing opens up, it could start to bring a little bit of equilibrium and hopefully a little bit of a pullback on the rental prices, which, in my opinion, is starting to get extremely optimistic and bullish.
Wow, amazing. Well, Peter, in respect to your time, because initially we talked about a half hour, but I have no problem extending it. Why don't we, what's next for you? Because I was looking at your website and, I love all the stuff that you're into and everything else. Where do you take this? Where do you see yourself 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
Fascinating question. What I say is when I grow up, when I grew up. And pre-construction, yeah, pre-construction wasn't really my focus, but because of the public records, we sort of got it, and we jumped all over it. And you know, I mentioned we're collecting 200 categories for every single one of these buildings. Really, the reason we're collecting 200 categories is during the last boom and bust, we kind of made our money profiling markets. We would know every condo in a particular market, whether it was old or it was new. We'd put it all together and we would track it because we felt as if deal, you know, the money would chase the deal. And if you only knew one or two buildings, you couldn't necessarily know what the competition was. So we went through and we modeled all the markets, all the buildings in a particular market. We created this massive database. I got about 950 towers. Tri-County areas east of I-95 with about 125,000 folios. Now what we're doing is we're modeling all these pre-construction units as well. We're slapping them to the same database, and ultimately, if you can sort of follow me here, ultimately I want to be Moody's or Standard & Poor's or Fitch, mm-hmm. and I want to be able to provide somebody an ability to pay a fee, get a report, and understand if I think this or we think this is a buy, a hold, or a sell type of building based on its economic situation. So we want to rate condo associations based on their economic stability. So next time when you buy a condo and you get 3 days to review 200-page condo docs and frequently asked questions and everything else, and it's all Chinese to you, theoretically you could pay us a fee the same way you pay an appraiser fee to go ahead and give you a true evaluation of what it is. We want to be able to tell you this is a dog of a building based on the financials compared to its peers, or this is really a rock star. And the thought process is a buyer can then factor in whatever price they need to pay based on sort of what we're suggesting. So when I grow up, I want to rate condos.
I love it. Well, this has been amazing, Peter. And just in conclusion, once again, you want to give them your website address. I don't know if you want to provide a phone number or not. I just want to make sure that the listeners have the ability to follow up with you after the show.
Yeah, absolutely. The website is cranespotters.com, C-R-A-N-E, like the T crane, the construction crane, and then spotter, mm-hmm. S-P-O-T-T-E-R-S. Remember, put the S on there, .com. Otherwise, if you go singular, you're going to end up in Germany with the gentleman who didn't register that. And if you want to send me an email, it's real easy, peter@cranespotters.com. And all of our information is, about 20% of it is free for everybody, but the 3D Google Earth map with all the towers located and marked, they're all available for everybody to sort of consume. And then at that point, if you want to get the information, if you want to get our subscription, we charge $1,000 a month, or if you deal with somebody who's a member of the Miami Association of Realtors, you're able to tap into that information through them virtually for free.
Yeah, what the association does is amazing. I have a long-term relationship with them, and I am a proud member. So we are definitely kindred spirits. Well, I got to tell you, personally, I knew that I had achieved something as a radio show host when you agreed to be on my show. So thank you.
Totally, my pleasure. My pleasure. I was just afraid you were going to say it was going to be way too early. We'd have to record it in advance or something. You know, I'm not good at 9 a.m. I'm much better at 9 p.m.
No, I hear you. I'm not a morning person either. But, Peter, thank you. And hopefully I can call upon you again in the future. And listen, anything I can do for you, it's, you know, we're here for you.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Thanks.
All right. Take care now. Folks, that was the famous Peter Salewski, and I got to tell you, was I right about needing to listen fast? He is amazing, the amount of information he can convey in a short period of time. So I know a lot of you are going to want to listen to the show again. You're going to want to share it with others. So give us about 24 hours. In about 24 hours, you're going to be able to go to Real Estate Answer Man, Real Estate Answer Man Show, Real Estate Answer Man Show, and you'll be able to download the podcast. And I have this feeling that this is going to be by far the most popular podcast we've ever done to date, because we have not achieved our top yet. We're going to just take a brief pause so that I can catch my breath, and we'll be back and just kind of sum up the whole thing. So stick with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Real estate is red hot in South Florida. If you're thinking about buying, selling, or investing in real estate, now's a great time. Sellers, demand is high and prices are on the rise. Buyers, great deals are still available and interest rates are still very low. The Extreme Realty team is your one-stop source for all your real estate needs. They specialize in luxury and non-distressed properties, foreclosures, short sales, and new construction. They cover Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Tony Martinez professionals will work closely with you to help you achieve your real estate objectives. If you are behind on your mortgage payments or in foreclosure, don't wait. Call today to discuss your options. Call Extreme Realty Team at 954-530-0211. That's 954-530-0211.
Okay, folks, welcome back. So Tony Martinez here, the Real Estate Answer Man Show. If you've been listening for the past 45 minutes, unbelievable. Does Peter know his stuff or what? And folks, I'm impressed. And I tell you, I was a little skeptical going in because, again, I'm this person that just feels like this doom and gloom is right around the corner. But I do feel better. I feel better because he brought up some very good points, and that is, one, the significant amount of down payment that is required to play in this market. It's really a hedge against what potentially can be another nightmare scenario. So I did feel better about that. The other thing, if I understood it correctly as well, is you do have all these proposed units, but that's really what it is. It's proposed. You know, so at that point, it may never come to fruition. If I have any concern at all, it is that anybody that's seeking to invest in that market, that you are represented, and I'll be biased here, that you are represented by a trained professional, a trained realtor, because it seems to me, I could be wrong, that there's really no vetting process right now for who is a developer. So yes, you have the big names out there that have been doing this for a long time, and you can feel as safe as possible in working with them. But it seems that markets like the kind that we're generating right now are going to attract the unsavory sort. And you know what? They put up enough money to put together the fancy brochures and the incredible architecture and everything else, and it gets enticing. And I can just see a scenario where people are going to be taken for a ride. So, you know, caveat emptor, you know, buyer beware, be represented. I tell you the other thing from a personal standpoint, I'm really thinking that my wife and I need to open an Extreme Realty team out there at the beach area. So I love the fact that, you know, the way Peter described it, we're west of 95. We kind of work with the everyday person and everything else. But there is this other area, the market, and why not? So consider me interested in entering into that market. So let's see what the future brings for us. Kind of recap, if you're just joining us or you weren't here at the very beginning, next week, again, another incredible show. I have my good friend Floyd Wickman that is going to be joining us, and he is going to be discussing a book that he helped co-author on his very good friend and mentor, Zig Ziglar. Zig is by far the most influential individual when it comes to personal performance and just selling success that in my lifetime. And we lost Zig a little over a year ago. And Zig made a tremendous impact on Floyd's life. Floyd was at a point in his life where he needed some guidance, and Zig was there. And there's that saying that when a student is ready, the teacher or the master will appear. And so they wrote the book called Lessons from My Brother Zig. So I've asked Floyd to come on the show to share some of these lessons with our audience. Now, Floyd's main claim to fame is, in my humble opinion, he is by far the best real estate speaker trainer ever. In fact, he's probably been, a lot of information has been borrowed from him because he's just been doing this a long time. So as a real estate practitioner, I'm constantly seeking to be better at what I do, and I try to get my fellow agents to be better at what they do. And so I stepped up to the plate. I said, Floyd, we need you in South Florida because our market here is very different, and we have a lot of challenges, and I want the salespeople to know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it, and that's what you are the very best at. And then I approached my friends at the Miami Association of Realtors, and as always, when they see a benefit to their members, they step up. So we are bringing Floyd down to Sunrise at their Broward County location. It's May 6th through 8th. So if you're a real estate agent, if you want to be a real estate agent, if you're struggling, if you're not making the kind of money you should, or if you want to just be better, you need to go to this class. So go to realestateanswermanshow.com, realestateanswermanshow.com. And right there, big and bold, you're going to see the flyer for this event. You'll be able to click on it, and it's going to take you to where you can get more information and you can register for it. There's very special pricing that's in place right now. It will go up by $50 after April 27th, and we do have a limited number of seats available. So don't take a chance on losing the opportunity to see Floyd Wickman live. He is a game changer. You'll never be the same. And just, you know what? Do me a favor. Listen to the show next week. If you're on the fence, if you're not sure, if you're wondering, well, who is this person he's talking about? Just listen to the show next week. And if you're a real estate agent, get a few other real estate agents in your office or in your circle of influence to listen to the show. You're going to see the caliber of this individual, the sincerity. He's authentic. He is the kind of person that, you know, you can have a beer with. I just feel like he's got that everyday person that I think at one point he was called the extraordinary, ordinary man, rags to riches story. So I'm a big fan of his. I'm sorry. I'm kind of gushing right now because Floyd has had a tremendous impact on my personal life. In fact, my speaking career started with Floyd. He was the first one. Over 20, maybe 25 years ago to say, you know what, this kid's got something. I want to give him a chance. So, of course, I'm totally and completely sold on him. Now, what I also need from you folks is to keep supporting the show. You know, once you go to iTunes and you download today's show, you know, there's other good stuff on there. I'm very, very proud of what we've done with the show and the direction we've taken. So don't be shy about downloading the information and sharing it with others because we want others to get this information. When we get into May, we're going to kind of go back to a couple of shows on the distress side. So we're not going to forget about the folks that are hurting and don't know what to do. I'm going to have some attorneys on there. I'm going to have some people there to help them. So, but in the meantime, anybody that needs help, have them call me. Have them call me because if I can't help them personally, I'm going to steer them in the right direction. So as we wind down our show for today, let me give you some information. Please write this down. One, let me give you my cell phone number. You know, how many radio show hosts or brokers are crazy enough to give out their cell phone number? That would be me, 954-663-0275. That's 954-663-0275. The website address for our show is realestateanswermanshow.com. realestateanswermanshow.com. We are live Tuesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. All right, so I think that probably does it. I may have an extra minute or two, but you know what? I'm pretty much done. So one last thing, I will tell you this. If you want to email me any questions, something we didn't cover on the show, you always wanted us to cover on the show, you can email me Tony, T-O-N-Y, at Extreme Realty Team. That's X-T-R-E-M-E, realtyteam.com. Tony at Extreme Realty Team.com. So I'm looking forward to having you come back again next week, next Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Tell a bunch of friends, tell a bunch of fellow realtors, and folks, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity, for giving me this privilege to be able to do something that I truly love doing. It's a total blessing. So I hope that you are richly blessed, that you have a fantastic, I know for me as a Christian, this is an incredibly important week for us. My Jewish friends are celebrating Passover, so this is a very, very special week for a lot of folks. So I just hope that many blessings come to you and your family, and we'll talk to you again next week. Take care. Bye-bye. Tune into the Real Estate Answer Man show next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern. And remember, for all your real estate needs, call the Extreme Realty Team at 1-800-719-7290. That's 1-800-719-7290.